Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for blessing us this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, welcome to They Overcame. We're here to give God all the honor, all the glory that is due his name. We're here because God has allowed us to be here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome to They Overcame. And we just want to thank and praise God for Evangelist Bernard allowing us to be able to have this broadcast. We're here to give God the honor, the praise, and the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we're just thanking God for this day. And, honey, I don't have control, so you take control. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Okay, there we are. Good morning. Good morning, and God bless you. Just blessed to be here once again, ready to just praise God and hear of his goodness. Looking out the window, as I often do on Saturday morning this time. Sun's not out, but I know the sun is shining, and the Son of God is alive, not only in the world, but in my life. And I'm just excited about all that is going on and how God has just blessed us. I'm sure you'll share with us that we've had quite a challenging week, challenging season. But one thing about it, the Word of God is true. He's faithful to his Word, and we are victorious, and I just thank God for that today.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm just thanking God. Like my husband said, we've had a pretty challenging weekend. It's been one that if it had not been, hallelujah, for the Lord on our side, where would we be? But we'll get into that later. We'll get into that later. Right now, babe, you want to open up the line for prayer, with prayer.
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We look to you as our only source. You are our strength. You are the center of our joy. You are our all in all. There's nothing, hallelujah, too hard for you. And, Father, we just lift up your name right now. We praise your name. We honor you, Lord God. You are worthy. There's none like you, hallelujah. And we just pray right now, Lord God, that you will move throughout this broadcast. Lord God, let your anointing be through the airways right now, Lord God. Let your word go forth. Hallelujah. Let men and women, boys and girls, hear what thus saith the Lord. Then hear, Lord God, words that are healing, that are ministry to them in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we just pray for this ministry. We pray for our overall covering, Evangelist Bernard and New Destiny Ministries. Lord God, just bless in a mighty way. Let this be just a place of healing and deliverance that men and women will know that there is hope in Christ Jesus. Turn to you and be snatched from the clutches of Satan, hallelujah, and be sealed, hallelujah, by your Spirit until that great day when we all shall meet and gather, hallelujah, and just rejoice how and look back how we've overcome. We won't wonder how we've overcome, as the song says, but we'll know that it's through your blood, through the power, your saving power. Hallelujah. Yes. Right now, just heal, heal and deliver. Lord God, man, restore minds. Hallelujah. Uplift, encourage. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that you minister today through your spirit to your people and use us, your vessels, Lord God. Hallelujah. In an anointed way, not of ourselves, but through the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And, honey, could you open up 252 is the area code. Could you open that up for me? That's our dear sister, Renita. And we're thanking God for her.
Amen.
252, babe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Close 209, babe.
Praise the Lord. How are you this
Praise
morning?
You. We are blessed. We are truly blessed and just giving God the praise for allowing us to be here this morning. As my husband was saying and talking to you as well as the radio listeners, we had a very trying week, one that has been full of drama. It has been full of just so many things. But we're thanking God for the victory, hallelujah, and his grace and his mercy. Thank you, Jesus. We have two testimonies, actually. Babe, do you want to give the testimony for Jonathan, and I'll give the testimony for Christopher?
Actually, babe, if you could just give both of them while I'm kind of getting ready for the rest of the broadcast.
All righty. Well, on this week, our son, and I've been requesting prayer for him. Okay, I'm getting an echo. Requesting prayer for him. I've been requesting prayer for him. And we had to go to court this week for our son that is in law school. Well, a young lady that his son's mother charged him with assault, that he assaulted her. And I was there, and there were witnesses there that testified to the fact that he did not assault her. But anyway, she was able to go to court, and it was God. It was God all the way, on top of the fact that he did not do what she said he did. And the court, the district attorney, who was so adamant about trying the case, who had not read the file for the case, had she read them prior, she would have seen that he wasn't guilty. He had witnesses saying that he wasn't guilty, that she actually was the aggressor. And before we even stood before he stood before the judge, she threw the case out, the district attorney. So we're just giving God, you know, when you stand for right, when you do what's right, and that's the one thing I can say about this young man, not because he's my son, but because he is one that has tried to do, you know, what's right and honorable toward this young lady and especially toward his son. And he's just had nothing but issues with her, nothing but problems with him seeing his child and everything. But God, to God be the glory. God has straightened that thing out. The case was thrown out because she lied. Not only did she lie in the first place, but then she tried to change her story to another lie. And the district attorney said, no, I'm not I'm not prosecuting this case. So we're giving God all the praise, honor, and the glory. That's our first testimony. Our second testimony is our second oldest son was in a terrible car accident. Thank you, Jesus. I was trying to put the pictures on Facebook, but I haven't been able to. Anyway, I don't see how he was able to walk away from this accident. He was unconscious and ran into a building, ran into a home, actually. And when I got the pictures of the front seat where he was sitting, there was wood in the seat. The window shield was down in the car, which would have been on top of him. And all he remembers is the police, the EMS, and the fire department there trying to wake him up. But he was able to walk away, hallelujah, from the accident. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus, for your love and your protection over my children. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Praise
God. Hallelujah. If you're friends with me on Facebook, I'm going to figure out how to get the pictures on. But there is no way Christopher, he at least should have gone to the hospital, but he didn't. He said he was in, you know, he was just stunned. And when they woke him up and got him out of the car, he called his brother and he picked him up and took him home. But he really should have gone to the hospital. But I'm just giving God the praise. When you see the car and what it looks like, you'll know why I'm praising God, because it's nothing but God's mercy, hallelujah, and his grace that my son is even still here in the land of the living. And I just praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
God, you are so holy. God is good, and God is still blessing. He's in the blessing business. And I just want to say, you know, our children don't always do the things that we don't always do the things that we're supposed to do. But because
of God's love for us
and because of his mercy and his grace, he still protects us. Now, am I talking about a weak salvation where you can do whatever you want to do and God still loves you? No, I'm not. But I'm saying, you know, so many times we hear the testimonies that, and I'm not one that has that testimony. I don't always do the right thing. I'm not always, you know, doing what God would have me to do. But I can still say, Father, help me. And he's there to help me. That's what kind of God I serve. That's what kind
Amen.
Of God that I serve. He's,
sometimes
he's
we
merciful.
Do miss the ball.
Yes,
sometimes
we
do miss the ball. But
yes,
God is
do.
Still good. God is to forgive us sins of commission and sins of omission. Sometimes we sin and don't even know we sin it. But God is good.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Is good.
Amen. Amen. So,
and I agree with you on that.
Yes, we're not always doing the things that we're supposed to do. This young man, and pray for him, Christopher, pray for Jonathan also, but it has a call in his life, has been, you know, when he was a little kid, you know, it was my pastor was coming in, and we were sitting on the side where he walked in before he went into the pulpit, and he stopped at Chris and told him, you have a call on your life, son. He's not walking in his calling. He's not walking in his calling, but, you know, I know the guy.
I have a son that isn't either. I have my baby son. This is part of my testimony, too. My baby son, I went to have an abortion with him. Because I didn't want no kids. I'm going to just go ahead and be honest. And when I got there, they had the machine already hooked to me. And the doctor came running in and told me, no, wait, we got to take pictures of her stuff. Wait, I was worldly back then, so I was doing a little custom. Can we get this over with? So he took the pictures and he came back. He said, no, we can't give you abortion because you're having twins. Come to find out, it was only one son in there. To this day, I think it was the Holy Ghost, because that son, no, he's not walking. He walked in it, but then at a certain age, he stopped. He has to have a, he has to go through some tests to have a testimony. He got to be able to tell the people of God that he's been through something.
Yeah.
And this son, from the age of 1 year old, people used to come to my house, knock on my door, and say, the Lord sent me here to take your son to church. Again, I wasn't saved. Y'all trying to kidnap my baby. You know, and I'm at 3 years old. I wasn't saved. I don't want to say what I said to them, but I really thought in my mind, because I was worried, no, he didn't. Ain't nobody sent you here for my son. By the age of 3 years old, he could read the Bible. But he couldn't read a book. But he could read the Bible and tell you what was in the Bible at the age of three. And yes, he has a heavy calling on his life, very heavy, very heavy. But he's going through some things. He's not lining up where he should be. But I keep him in prayer, and I will also add your son to that prayer, because they are going to line up. They are going to do the will of God. Devil is not going to catch them in their mess, because we serve a mighty God. God's patience will be done. Whether our children come walking or whether God drags me, it's going to get done.
Yeah.
And I stand
that's
with you on
I
that because I have
that's
a son like
I
that,
say.
Too. Yes.
Yeah, God.
And when
good.
All this was
God
going on
good.
With my son, I was an alcoholic. I'm going to tell you. I didn't believe, I didn't have a belief in God. I thought God was like some mystical being in the sky, like magic, he do magic and stuff. That's what my beliefs were about God when I was pregnant with this child. I didn't have a belief. I knew everybody talking about there was a God, but I didn't understand it. So I wasn't in God. I didn't drink while I was pregnant or do drugs while I was pregnant, but I did them, you know, after the pregnancy. And yeah, that's where I was. So I was in my addictions when these people were coming over talking about getting my son. I was not in my right mind. I went from 0 to 1,000 in 2 seconds. No, you did not come over here trying to steal my child. So, yeah, that's where I was. And he was going to church. He thought when he got up, he would always want to go to church. He would always put a suit on Sundays, and he would always want to go to church. And when he became 10, he's 22 now, when he became 10, his mother was delivered. He prayed. He would go to church. He told me that, Mommy, I'm praying for you, that God will fix you and you can come with me to church. Mommy, I'm praying with you that God will fix you and you will come with me to church. Mommy, because he didn't know what I was doing. He just knew something wasn't right. They didn't know until later on in life that I was actually on drugs and stuff. And my kids didn't know that. So, when he was 10, I got delivered. I went to church. I had been getting high all weekend. And I came. This lady kept aggravating me. Let me go with her to church. Bob cussed her out. I'm just going to keep it real. And I went to church, and I was dating this guy. And I cussed him out in church because he was getting on my nerves. 5 hours later, when I came to myself, I was delivered. I found myself. I looked up. I was under the toilet in the bathroom. Last thing I remember was being in the pew. And I was delivered. And that was October 7th. I can't remember the year. 12 years ago. And I've been set free ever since. I've been set free and on fire ever since. Yes, did I make mistakes? Yes. Did I not understand what happened to me? No, I did not understand. Did I make a lot of mistakes? Yes, I have. Have God forgiven me? Yes, he is. He is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
Yes,
in my case,
yes.
1,000,099 chances. So we're not going to always get it right, but God is going to forgive us. He's just. He's just.
When your kids are telling you, because my kids tell me this over and over again, you know, from my oldest son is a prophet. He's not, God uses him in ministry, but he's not really fully walking in his ministry. But God does use him, and he is, you know, he is, you know, walking in a saved life. But they used to say, Mom, we have to make our own mistakes, you know, because you try to shield them and protect them and, you know, try to keep them. Don't, you know, don't do this because when you do this, you know, this is what's going to happen. I already know I've been down this path. But they would tell me constantly, you know, I got to make my own mistakes. And I come to realize that you, once they get to be a certain age, you do have to take your hands off them. You have to, you know, you raise them up. Chris, well, my oldest son, I got saved when he was 11. No, he was 7. He was 7 when I got saved. And he wasn't born in church, but my other three sons, they're pew babies. I mean, they've been in church all of their lives, but still, you know, they have to walk their walk. They have to walk their walk. And and it's so funny. It's so funny how God, I heard Yolanda Adams say this yesterday. She said, God will use anybody to speak to you. And there was a my oldest son, biological father, told me, he said, Billy, he said, you did whatever you wanted to do and God saved you. I said, you're right. You're right. So, you know, we have to take our hands off of God. We have to, I mean, off our children and let God do what he's going to do with them, just like he did with us. He saved us out of our mess. And he can save them out of their mess. All we're supposed to do is cover them with prayer, and let God, and not worry. Not that you're not going to ever worry, but not to have too much fear. And it, and it's a growth for you. It's a growth for you. It makes you have to grow up. It makes you have to say, "Okay, Lord, I have to learn how to give this to you and not take it back." Because many times we give something to God, but then we go back and say, well, you know, let me just do this.
I was good for that one. I was good for that one. Praise the Lord.
And so, you know, God uses every situation to grow us, to bring us into the knowledge of him, so that that scripture that I used to quote when I was, when we had testimony service all the time, that we now, of course, now the scripture leaves me, but the calling down strongholds and anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God that we have.
Amen.
Okay, the enemy will try to take what you know already. Okay, God delivered me, like Big Mark told me. God delivered you out of your mess, Billy. Okay, I already know that. I already know that God can deliver because I did whatever I wanted to do. I got high. I didn't drink, but I love speed. I love to do speed. But God delivered me out of it. So I already know that. I already know that about God. You know, so why would I be worried about what my kids are doing? Because I know they have a call on their lives. I know that God, you know, has a plan for their lives. My position should be prayer and trust and believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Believe what God says.
Billy, let me ask you a question. If our sons don't go through nothing, how are they going to be able to minister correctly to people who are going through situations? If they're not, if we want them to automatically be saved, because the Lord dealt with me in that same area. I want my son saved. I do. But see, there's a group of men that our sons are going to have to minister to. So our sons have to walk the path to go through some things. God is going to bring them through it. And it hurts us as parents to see our children suffer and go through these things. But at the end, they got some power. Like your son with this woman with the child support thing, with the custody and everything. And don't you know we're in the position he's in? He can teach other men how to properly go through the channel
and talk to other men after they've been falsely accused.
Yes.
He can help other men through that, because then he's not the only man that's going through that.
Absolutely.
There's other men that are out there falsely. Yes, they're falsely accused, because I work with domestic violence also. These men are falsely accused. And him being a man, and a man of God, and a man behind God's own heart, he's going to reach a group of men and help them come through without the retaliation, because some men will retaliate against that woman.
Yeah.
And some men will hurt them women, because they feel like that's messing their life up.
Right.
So our sons have to, and the Lord dealt with me with this. It took me a long time, but I had to. I had, because I was a mother hen. I smothered my boys. So you don't have to, I wanted to walk their task for them. I wanted to walk their life for them.
Yeah.
But we walked together, me and my children, but then I had to let their hand go and just stand there and let them walk by themselves. You know, God is good.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard when you're a mother and you love your children and you want the best for your. You know what? God has reassured me. And God, I know He's reassuring you. He told me all three of my sons are going to be saved.
Yeah.
And I believe Him. Because look how long it took Him to save me.
Yes. Yeah.
I was in my mid-30s. I was in my 30s when He saved me. I'm almost 50 now. So look how long it took Him. In all my mess, He kept me. So if I could see Him keeping me in all my mess, I see Him keeping my sons in what they have to go through in order to exalt Him properly. In
we
order
gotta
to
cast
praise Him properly.
Down those imaginations and those vain things that the enemy brings to our mind to make us doubt God. To make us, because that's all it is. His tactic is to get us not to believe God. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we don't have faith that God can do what He said He's going to do, then the enemy has won.
That's right.
The enemy has won. So I just thank God. You know, I thank God for this journey. You know, it hasn't gone the way that I would want it to go, you know, in a perfect world. But then how would I know what God can do, like you're saying about our kids? How will they know what God can do if they don't go through anything? So, amen. God is good.
I had to learn that myself. Because I began to feel guilty about some of the choices my children were making, because I thought it was poor parenting. I'm just going to be honest. I must have done this. The devil would use those things. Where did I go wrong at? And each and every one of my sons have come to me and said, Mommy, look, do not feel guilty for what we do. You raised us right. These are our choices. You didn't help us make these choices. You didn't even know about choices. What are you guilty for? All of my sons tell me, Ma, don't beat yourself up. Stop, stop, stop. You're a good mother. I love you. Don't do that. This is my choice, Mommy. Mommy, we grown now. We have to do this. I said, okay.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, okay.
Amen.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very hard.
It's a growing life. It's a life that we grow into this salvation. We grow into the knowledge of God. We can read about it. You know, the Bible is full of stories that we can read, but we have to walk through, you know, the stories. And the Bible tells us that Moses and David and some of the other patriarchs in the Bible, they were like men, like us. They weren't superhuman. I mean, they had their faults. Look at David, the lies and the things that he did. Look at Moses, where he killed somebody and then ran away.
Yep.
I mean, they were like men, like us. They made
human
mistakes, like we make mistakes. But God still used them I often say. We What a slap in the enemy's face for us to have done the things that we've done, and yet God save us. Yet God
save
us. But I love him.
But
I love him.
The devil thought he had me.
Yes.
My mother used to tell me that I was the devil's wife when I you the devil's wife when I was growing up, because I was so bad and into so much. She used to tell me I was the devil's wife. Well, whose wife am I now? Whose wife am I now? Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. He will bring you. The devil thought he had. He thought he had me. Oh, the devil is a liar.
He had
but
to,
you know what?
But he had to release you. He could not hold on to you because you didn't belong to him.
Amen. Amen. But you know what? This conversation with you this morning has been so healing for me. Thank you.
For me,
thank
too.
You, God. It has been, because sometimes we need to be reminded.
Yeah.
We just need to be reminded that God gave us our children, and he entrusted them in us, but they still belong to him. They're his.
Yes, they're his.
That's what gets out of my spirit. They're his. Yes, we can borrow them. Yes, yes, yes. But they're his. In the ultimate end, he's going to exalt all of our children.
Yeah.
And I thank God.
He will get the glory.
Mm-hmm.
The glory out of their lives. They're predestined. It's not by chance, you know, that we were born in the family, no matter how we came about being, you know, no matter how we came about being, whether we came from rape, whether we came from incest, whether we came from out of marriage, wedlock, adultery. No, my God has a plan. He has a plan for each of our lives, and we have to learn how to trust him and believe him for what he said that he's going to do. And like I said, it's an experience for us all to be able to grow and say, look at God. We could stand back and say, look at God, look what God has done. Out of this mess that I made, not a mess that somebody else made, a mess that I made, God still brought me to the place where I'm worshiping him, where I'm praising him, where I'm living for him, and where I can go back and tell somebody else, like you were saying, Sister Renita, I can go back and say, look, I've been there, and I know what God can do. God brought me out of that. He brought me out of that, and he can bring you out of it.
Amen.
So, God is good. Well, amen.
And we see manifestations in our children all the time by their changes in their behavior. They lean more to good than they do bad.
So that's
the manifestation to me. That God is working. And especially when they come in to you for advice on godly things and coming to you, mommy, I need prayer. Mommy, God got to help me. When they start calling on the name of God a lot, oh, God, Jesus going to help me through this. Jesus going to help me through this. Mommy, I've been praying. Mommy, I've been the manifestations of God's word coming through, because his word will not come through void. It will not come back in void. It will not.
That's right. My sons have helped me. This son that was in the accident, Christopher, has helped me. We went through a very traumatic situation with him a few years ago, and it allowed me to see myself. It allowed me to see, where is your faith? Where, you know, you, one that have talked about faith, preach faith, walked in faith, taught your son faith. But when we got to this situation, it was frightening. It was frightening because it was a situation where he could have gone to prison. And, you know, being brought up in the church, you can get out in the world, but it is because of your upbringing, you don't have the same personality to someone that doesn't know God. You know what I'm saying? Like if he had gone to prison, even though he thinks he's a tough guy out here, there are guys that have been brought up in the prison system.
Thank you.
So that just frightened me to think, you know, and he was like, Mom, I did not do what they're accusing me of doing. I did not do it. And he said, and I believe God. He said, and you taught me.
There you go.
He said, you have been the example of faith for me. He said, so I know that I didn't do anything. I know that what they're accusing me of, I didn't do.
Praise God. It
blessed me, you know, that he could say, you have been a great example of faith to us, Mom. You know, you stood on God's word. You believed when there was nothing but God to believe in. Situations didn't look good. We were prophesied that we were going to be in a new home. We were living in a home, but we were, you know, family growing with four sons living in one house with one and a half bathroom and you know, three bedrooms.
That's a lot.
So it was prophesied to us, but it took 7 years for us to get our home. But when we got the prophecy, we started moving in faith. We started going to Walmart and buying those plastic bins to store
uh-huh.
stuff in, and we were packing stuff away that we knew that we, you know, weren't going to be needing immediately. And every year when we had our end of the year prayer, we had watch meeting in Chicago. They don't really
uh-huh.
do watch meeting here, but as a family, we would pray. And every year we would pray and we would thank God, this is the year that we're going to get our house. This is the year. For 7 years, we did that. And at the seventh year, my husband was relocated. His job relocated him to the Atlanta area, and we moved into a brand new house that the builder had lived in, but no one else had lived in. And so, you know, that we shared belief, mm-hmm. and now we're seeing the fruition of that. We're seeing, you know, the son saying, "The faith, Mom, you taught us faith. You walked in faith. We watched you, and we saw how you believed God. When for 7 years we kept believing God and thanking God for a house that we didn't have. But at the end of our believing, you know, when it was at God's proper time, God blessed us with a new home. It was so funny when the company moved us, but when the movers came and we didn't have to pack anything. That's the best way to move.
Praise God.
It's very expensive, and we didn't have to pay for it. But anyway, the movers came, and they were so, you know, we talked about the Lord with them and everything. But when they brought our things to our new house, they were like, wow, you didn't tell us that you won the lottery.
Oh, praise the Lord.
It was such a beautiful home. So we, you know, but the point is that because of our faith, you know, that what we taught the boys, now they can stand on their faith. And that's what mm-hmm. we, you know, that's been a struggle for me. You know, like you, Renita, I coddled my sons and I homeschooled mm-hmm. them actually for 3 years. They
mm-hmm.
were in a school in the suburb of Chicago, which was not a good area, and it was like anarchy every time I went to the school, and I wasn't working, so I was up at the school all the time. And so, you know, I found out about homeschooling, so I homeschooled them for 3 years. And
mm-hmm.
when we moved to Georgia, I put them in school, but I was, you know, close to my boys. I enjoyed my boys. So, you know, it was hard. It's been hard for me to
yes.
take my hands
yep.
off, you know, to
yep.
say, You know, they're men now. They're men. My youngest is 24 years old, but they're men. But still, because that was the kind of mother that I was, it was hard for me to, you know, release them to God. But, you know, God is saying, okay. I could see him in my mind's eye with his hands crossed, you know, with his arms crossed. Saying, okay. When you get tired. I'll take over. So, you know, slowly but surely, I'm releasing them to him. And, you know, it hasn't been hard, but it's growing for me. It's making me grow where I thought that I was strong.
And you know what, too? I had to go to God and repent because my sons were my God. I'm just going to be honest. My sons, sons rose and set, and my three sons. The Lord told me, Renita, your children are your God. And I had to go to God and repent for that. I had to repent for that. That's how tight I held on, and that's how close, you know, I kept my boys to me. They were gods to me.
Yes. My God.
And for that, yes, I did. I think I told one of my kids about that. I said, y'all, you know, I had to repent for y'all. He's like, what do you mean? I said, because y'all were gods in my eyes. Y'all were my gods. What anything you love more and put before God is your God.
Yes.
And my sons came first. I don't care if I had to go out here and pick up cans. My sons, I don't care. I didn't care. I didn't go to church. I wasn't doing nothing. That's them. It was them. And I had to repent. Now, that right there in itself, the Lord was showing me myself where I was. And I thank God for it.
Can't say that the boys became my God, but I know that I was, you know, pretty, a total control freak, you know, total control freak. You know, if I thought, you know, that they were going to do the wrong thing, I was there saying, no, you know, you can't do that. And, of course, you have control when they're children. But as they get older, you don't have that control. And, you know, you haven't allowed them to experience the things that they need to experience, you know, to be able to make wise decisions. They're making decisions because of the things that you're saying to them, but not making their own decisions, not making their own wise decisions. So, you know, God is, amen. Honey, can you open up Sister Adrienne's line? I don't have control for some reason. Oh, she's gone. She hung up. Okay, she said that she's having... she's fussing at me. Anyway, she's gone. But that was our overall whole evangelist. Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. She's fussing at me because I didn't open up the line, but we just got into the conversation, and like I said, I don't have control of the control. So, to give me Evangelist Bernard, enjoy your prayer breakfast. But that's our overall hope, that she's here every day at this same number doing her New Destiny Ministries, and she has anointed men and women of God that come on every day and preach and prophesy, and you even can get a word from God, you know, listening to her broadcast. So we invite you to listen to her broadcast daily. Amen. Well, honey, I asked my husband, we didn't necessarily have a guest, but you know, we've been giving our testimony and talking to Sister Renita for almost an hour.
Praise the Lord.
So, we were the guests for today. We were the guests, but I did ask my dear husband to just give us a few words. So, honey, Elder Burns.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Actually, you guys, as you say, you were the guests today, and ministry has really been going forth with the two of you. Don't really need me, but we're just in obedience. We're just in obedience, and because I committed, kind of, or was committed, we'll go forth with what God has given me. And I just thank God for all that has been said today. And we just know that God is good. And you ladies have just really painted such an awesome picture of how faithful God is, how concerned he is about everything that you are concerned about, and how he is just complete control of our lives. No matter what we think, or what we think we're doing, or, you know, how smart we think we are, God's got us covered. When we do his will, when we're out of his will, he still has us covered just because he said that he would in his word, and his word cannot come back void. And just because he has a call on your life, and if God has ordained you, he let Jeremiah know that before you were formed in the belly, I knew you, and I've got you. So that's the great thing about God. I always maintain of how awesome God is. He's got all the power in the world. He's omniscient. He knows and sees everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. But he's the creator of all things. But beyond all of that, the most exciting and awesome thing to do about God is that he is faithful. He is always, and if I can use kind of a double word here, he's faithfully faithful. You can always depend on his faithfulness. And that's what I love about God more than anything, more than riches. I mean, I look for, bask in the blessings of God and just to know that he's providing for me. But more than anything, just knowing that he is faithful excites me the most about him. As my wife asked me to say a few words because we didn't have a guest, at that time I was going through the same stuff that she was going through, as well as working all day, every day. So I just really didn't know what God was going to do. And even into yesterday, and then somehow I injured my back, and so I've been kind of dealing with that too. But I was thinking about the fact that we are approaching that time that we're going to be soon up on the second year of this broadcast called They Overcame. And we know that theme came from Revelations 12 and 11, which says, "And they overcame him," that is Satan, the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And we know that this particular broadcast of this show really focuses on that part that says the word of their testimony. And when we look at that scripture in context, that testimony was referring to really them declaring or pronouncing the word of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Basically, that testimony was a testimony of the scripture, testimony of the word of God that they were standing on, the testimony of just rehearsing what God has done and what they knew of God. And just like when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt into the promised land, they were told not to let the law or the words of the law depart from their mouths. In other words, they were told to always be confessing that law, to never stop confessing that law, always to be rehearsing it, saying it, so that it just becomes internalized and a part of them, so that they would be obedient to the law. But just like they were reminded to do that, this vision that John revealed to us was the end, or look at the end, where those that were standing there had overcome by the same thing, by rehearsing the testimony, by telling the testimony of the gospel of Christ Jesus. And when we look at that picture, that mental picture, I kind of can just see, just what looks like a sea of people, a sea of the saints. Just the Bible even says thousands upon thousands, a number that no man can number. But in there, some of those testimonies, we know that there was a blind man that once said, when he was questioned, "All I know is that I was blind and Jesus put mud in my eyes and now I see." That was his testimony. There was another woman, a Samaritan woman, who just ran into the city and said, "Come and see a man that told me everything that I ever did." That was her testimony. And another centurion that was at the foot of the cross, when he saw all that had transpired, and when he remembered what the scripture, what the Old Testament or the scriptures had said about the Messiah, he said, he testified, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And we even think about Mary Magdalene, who went to the grave to dress her Savior, and found that he was alive, met him there alive, and went running back to tell them, "I have seen him, I've talked to him, and he's alive." These are some of those testimonies that it talks about they overcame by the word of their testimony. Now, these testimonies that I just cited, we could read them in the scripture. In other words, they became a part of the word of God. They became a part of the gospel that we have to declare and confess every day to those who we are witnessing to. But I'm just declaring to all of us today that even though their testimonies became a part of the word of God, and scripture is not being written anymore, but our testimonies as well become a part of the gospel of Christ Jesus, so that when we are delivered, when we are healed, when you're recovered from an illness or from a calamity of some kind, when you are restored, when your storm becomes at peace, when you survive accidents, as our son survived a great, what looked like it could have been a fatal accident, when we are unharmed by whatever attacks that people or Satan throw our way, when all these things pass and we're still standing, your story is a testimony and is a part of the gospel of Christ Jesus, and we ought to share that. I think about a song that one of my favorite groups, the Williams Brothers, sang that said, "I am a living testimony. could have been dead and gone, but, Lord, you let me live on. That's how our life is, and that's the way we have to see our life, and we have to always declare it. We owe it to the Lord. Psalm says to make known his deed among the people. We owe it not only to the Lord, but we owe it to the world to let them know how powerful, how good, how faithful our God is, and that he is hope for them. And we know that he's hope because here's my story. Check it out. And that will give them hope. And for this reason, this broadcast, this internet broadcast, they overcame, is here, and we're here every Saturday morning for God's people to declare his goodness to the world. I encourage everybody, all that are listening today, whether you're listening live, whether you're on the internet listening in, whether as you hear my voice, this is later in life when you've listened into the archives, but I encourage you and challenge you to call in with your testimonies, to invite others to listen and join in with their testimony, because what you have gone through and what you share, there's somebody who may be listening, who's going through that, and needs to hear how God brought you out so that they too can have hope, so that they will know that they don't have to worry, so that they will know and be confident and be filled with joy, knowing that it's just a matter of time and God's going to bring me out. So I encourage everybody to just call in every week. Give your testimonies. As my wife often says, no testimony is too great. No testimony is too small. No testimony is too crude. Sometimes we hear some testimonies, and it's not PG-13 stuff all the time. But it's a testimony of how good, the worst that it seems the situation is, that just shows how much power our God has. So there's no testimony too great, too small, too short, too long. If it's a long one, we'll make time for you. We'll give you a show. We'll give you the day. But call in, write in, let us know your testimony so that people can hear what God is doing, and they too can have that same hope and assurance. And just kind of in closing, I want to look at a few scriptures that have come to my mind, talking about basically looking at the testimony, looking at what we're supposed to do, looking at overcomers. And that's what we want to look at today, is that they overcame. So that sea of people that we see in that vision that John painted for us, these are all overcomers. You said they overcame. First looking at John, 1 John, the 5th chapter, and just reading a few verses from there, starting at verse 1, and right now I'm reading, there's probably one or two scriptures that are going to be in a different version, but right now I'm reading out of King James, either King James or New King James. Said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten. And I know that's I'm going to kind of cruise past that scripture, but it says, whosoever believeth that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And I know sometimes well, let me just stop and say it. That scripture alone tells us that we just need to not judge people for what we think they don't believe like us.
Amen.
Because God is in control. God's doing this thing. On the verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments, and then getting down to our focus. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And that's the crux of it right there. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. When we are born into Christ, when we were born into God, we became overcomers. Mm-hmm. And then looking at verse Revelation 3 and 5, says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed, listen to that, shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father. Just looking at that, those that are born of God are overcomers. Revelations is the back of the book. It's the end of the story. And what we see is that the overcomers are with Jesus at the end of the story. So that if you are born of God, you are an overcomer. And believe, verse 5 goes on to say, believe in the Lord, be born again. And basically what I'm reading here in the scripture is that it's a done deal. So because we are overcomers, and Revelation 3 and 5 is said, the Lord saying, he that overcometh, the same shall be. There's no doubt about it. There's no condition about that. We are born, and now we're overcomers. He that overcometh, we are overcomers because we were born in him. And now that we're born in him and are an overcomer, we overcome and shall be clothed in white. When that picture is painted, when that picture becomes a reality that John saw as a vision, we'll be there.
Yeah.
And God said, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. What I just declare from that today is to, now that we know that we are the children of God, we don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live in doubt. We don't need to live like, well, I think of even some of the songs that we used to sing, if I can just make it to heaven. There's no if. God has saved us. We're on our way to heaven. It's a done deal. Our eternity is sealed in Christ Jesus. There's another scripture here that I'm looking at, 1 Peter 5. I didn't put that down, but 1 Peter 5 goes on to just let us know that as the scripture talks about even our faith, that we overcome through our faith. And our faith is sealed in Christ Jesus. Revelations 12 and 11, that's our theme scripture for the show. They overcame by the word, by the blood of the Lamb. See, the blood of the Lamb is the part that Jesus did. And that blood was shed for us. He died for us. And there's power in that blood. That blood has healing power. It has saving power. It has delivering power. It has keeping power. And because of the blood, we have this hope. And then the rest of it is the word of our testimony. That's our part, is to confess, to testify of the good deeds of God. And then looking at Revelations, starting verse chapter 21, verse 5, and it says, "And he said, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." What is that word?
Yeah.
Faithful. The faithfulness of God. "And he said unto me," listen to this, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." All of these words are words of declaration. Shall, will. I don't see anything in there about if, maybe, nothing conditional except the fact that we've met the condition of believing in him and becoming his son. And so just wanted to talk a little bit about being that overcomer. What does an overcomer look like? What are the traits of an overcomer? One of the traits of an overcomer is that he's obedient. He or she is obedient. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Christ, of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." So one of the things about an overcomer is that we are obedient to our God. Another
yes.
attribute of an overcomer is that they are victorious. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's an overcomer, one who knows who he is victorious because we are in Christ Jesus. And that thing continues in 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." In every place. So there is not a place, a situation, a circumstance, a trial, or anything. Our God is not able to make us triumph. So the overcomer is victorious. What else about an overcomer? An overcomer, as we look at 2 Timothy 2:3, "So there, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." And down to the 10th verse it says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So another thing about an overcomer is that an overcomer endures. And there's some other words from the Lord that talk about our enduring. James 1:12 said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." We have to endure temptation. Sometimes we endure it successfully. Sometimes we're not quite so successful this time around. But how many of us know that we grow not only from glory to glory, but from faith to faith? So we grow in this thing. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Also, Matthew 24:13. There's another scripture that talks about endurance. And let me just kind of say a little bit about this. It says that he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. He that endures to the end shall be saved. But remember that I've already painted that. John already painted the picture. And it wasn't John that painted the picture. He just told of the story that God revealed to him that those overcomers were standing there in the end with God. So he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But let's also just keep in mind that we shall endure to the end. That's not if you endure to the end. That's just saying you shall endure to the end. So we're going to make it. God has called us, and we're not serving, as my wife, I think she said earlier, we're not serving the kind of God that will foreordain you and then take you out of what the devil thought he had for you and then lose you back to the devil. What kind of, if he's the omnipotent God, how does that show how omnipotent he is if he saves us and then loses us back to the devil? So he that shall endure to the end, and I'm saying you shall endure to the end, and you'll be saved. You'll be a part of that vision that John saw, and you'll be a part of that reality. So one of the things about an overcomer is that they endure. An overcomer walks in revelation. Let's look at Matthew 10 and 26. It says, fear them not before, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Going down to the 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 25, at the same time Jesus answered, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, who and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. So the Lord is going to reveal things to us. And as we walk in that revelation, that's what makes us able to be overcomers. Overcomers are courageous. Look at First Corinthians 16:13. I'm reading this one out of the New NIV version. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And then Hebrews, well, not only are they courageous, but they're courageous, confident, and connected. Hebrews 3:14 says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That we are enduring again. And then also, overcomers are connected. And for that, we look at Hebrews 10:25, where the writer says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And one of the good things about us being connected to one another in the house of God and being connected to God is that, as it says here, exhorting one another. So there's an opportunity for more courage to be invoked in us and encouragement. One of the other things about an overcomer, Jesus gave a parable, and he said in Luke 19:11, said, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said unto them, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. And that's our job as overcomers while we're still here on the earth, is to occupy until Jesus comes. And one of the things that we do in our occupation, occupy doesn't just mean take up space, but occupy, he delivered to them 10 pounds or 10 talents for them to work them. To occupy meant to actually work what he divided unto them, so that it would continue to make more money while he was gone. While he wasn't there working, he expected his servants to work. God expects us to be working. He expects us to be occupying until he comes. So a good an overcomer occupies until the Lord's come, until the Lord comes. And another thing about overcomers is that an overcomer is mature. Maturity is an attribute of overcomers. Hebrews 5, starting at verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason to have use of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there is a need for maturity for overcomers. We can't continue to just walk as babes because then we set ourselves up for that situation that Paul also talks about, being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But we need to mature. So one of the things about an overcomer is that they are mature in the things of God. And then finally, another attribute, I'll end here, is that overcomers are encouraged. And we all know the scripture of how David, after such a defeat and being just dealt with so evilly, but it said in 1 Samuel 30:6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake strong, stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So David didn't take down. David didn't get caught up into the depression that he could have, because everyone had turned against him. And he could understand that because of the killing that had happened to all the sons and daughters of his soldiers. But David encouraged himself. We have to encourage ourselves sometimes. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And that, again, speaks to not only just encouraging ourselves, but putting ourselves in a connected situation, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because when we get together, as we have this morning, as I listen to you two ladies just speaking such encouraging words to one another, those words that you all spoke to one another about what you've gone through, what you're going through, how that God has blessed you, each of us that have listened in on that, and those of you who participated in on that have been encouraged in the Lord. So those are some of the attributes of overcoming. I just kind of put that together as an acronym of overcome. Overcomers are obedient, V, victorious, E, they endure, R, they walk in revelation, C, they are courageous, O, they occupy, M, they are mature, and E, they are always encouraged. That's how you overcome and walk as an overcomer. And those are just a few of the words that I have from you for you from the Lord, and just an encouragement to always seek out everyone. Just call in. Give us your testimonies. The world needs to hear your testimonies. We are overcomers. Let's get more overcomers just by sharing the hope and the word of the Lord through our testimonies. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, baby, for that. Those words of encouragement. Wow. What was the acronym again, babe? Give that again.
Overcome. O, obedient. V, victorious. E, endure. R, revelation. Walk in revelation. C, be courageous, confident, and connected. O, occupy until Jesus comes. M, walk in maturity, mature in Christ. And E, be encouraged. Encourage yourself and encourage one another.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Well, I am encouraged. I am encouraged by my sister and her testimony, and encouraged by my own testimony. The things that God is doing in our lives is so awesome. I mean, he is just, he's doing some things that no man can do. No man can do that. No man can do it. And nobody can take it away. I like the scripture that says that he opens doors. He opens doors. That no man, well, it's not scripture, but it alludes to that. He opens doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. And when we think that we're down for the last count, we should come up praising. Hallelujah. Come up praising, because we know that in him we have the victory. We have the total victory. Now, he doesn't have to do things. He does things completely. They may not always be the way that you anticipated them to be, but God is always going to do what's the best for us and ours and our children. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, amen.
I am blessed. And thank you, honey, for, I just told him on yesterday, or asked him on yesterday, if he would give us some words of encouragement this morning, and he really has encouraged our heart, and we know that we have the victory if we just stay, if we just stay with God. Amen. Amen. Is there anything else that you wanted to share, Sister Renita?
Yes, I have a few announcements. Lord have mercy, I just closed my book up. I have about, I think, three, if you don't mind.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I would like to announce that coming Friday, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Help a Sister Out Women's Conference is going to be at my church, A Pillar of Fire in Warsaw. But on Sunday, October 5th, our own prophetess, Passion London, will be presiding, the woman who testified last week on the line. So I encourage everyone to come out
and enjoy yourself. On the Outpouring Revival, September 23rd through October 3rd, September 5th at 5, my pastor Jackie London will be there.
You mean August? I mean October 5th?
Yes.
Okay, because you said September 5th.
From September 28th. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It starts September 28th. And then at Elijah's Mantle Apostolic Ministries in Greenville, they have a prayer revival October 10th through the 4th through the 17th. October 14th through the 17th. And my pastor will be there on the 17th. And then, of course, we have our prayer line for those of you who need that encouragement during the week. We have with Jackie London, the presider of the Tuesday night prayer line at 8. The number is 712-432-0375. The code is 795-360. This woman is on fire for God. This line is bringing forth miracles, signs, and wonders. You do not want to miss it. And also, every morning at 5 Central, 6 a.m. Eastern, Miracle Burleson has a prayer line that is also bringing forth signs and wonders and miracles. Because the fantastic thing about God is both of these prayer lines that I'm on with my pastor on Tuesdays and with Miracle every morning at 6, they both coincide with each other because they both give me the word that's for me. They both give me the same word. And these two ladies don't know each other. God is good. And the number for Miracles prayer line is 347-637-3802. And those are my messages. Thank you, my announcers. I'm sorry.
Amen. Amen. Could you post that on, did I invite you to the They Overcame page?
Yes, I can put it in there. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, please post those for me. So we just thank God for what our ears have heard. Thank God for his blessing, and just his love for us and his tender mercies and kindness. And we're going to ask you, Sister Renita, if you would close us out in prayer. We don't have any testimonies. I do have a prayer request, though. My husband is ministering three to four Sundays a month at a home for assisted living home. And we just love being over there with the residents, and we've had some miracle testimonies that have gone forth over there, and we're actually going to take a testimony of our dear brother Willard, who was blind, and that God has given him his sight back. So we're praying for a complete healing, but he's been totally blind since 2007, and now he's able to see. He's able to see. So we're going to tape that testimony so that we can play it on the broadcast, and we'll probably try to do that next week.
Okay.
And have that testimony. I'm sorry. What did you say, Renita? Okay. The prayer request is, though, one of the dear mothers over there, and I can't recall her name at this time, but she told us on last week that she wasn't going to be with us much longer. And I said, oh, are you going home? Well, I knew, that she didn't have any of the things she has. And I know she doesn't have any children. She's never been married. But she was saying that she thinks that she's leaving here. And she's dear, sweet sister. So the Lord knows her name. Please remember her in your prayers. That God strengthen her and give her some more years. Give her some more years here with us, because she's really an encouragement to us when we're over there. And, you know, like I said, we just love being over there with the residents. It just blesses our heart, you know, to be over there with them. I asked, one of the residents called me, and there's another church that has service over there on one Sunday out of the month. And I asked her, I said, well, is there anything, you know, from their service that you like for us to do? She said, oh, no, we love your service. So God is being glorified. So just remember the residents over at Brookhaven, Brook Ridge, assisted living facility. Remember them in prayer. Okay, Sister Anita, could you close this out in prayer, please? Sister Renita, are you there? Amen. Well, I'll call this out in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We praise you for what our ears have heard on today. Lord, we love you. And most importantly, you love us. We just bless your holy name. We give your name all the praise, hallelujah, all the honor, hallelujah, and all the glory. We just magnify your name, Lord. We pray that this broadcast has been a blessing, that those that hear it will be encouraged. Those, Lord, that may be failing, or not failing, but just have lost a little faith in the things that they see, because they've come against so many heavy things in their lives. Lord, let this broadcast be an encouragement to them, Lord, to keep believing and keep trusting and keep doing the words. And Father, the words that Elder Burns shared with us, let them stick in our heart, Lord, that we will be the ambassadors that you have put us on this earth to be. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for allowing us to have this broadcast. And Lord, we ask you that you would touch the heart of your people, that many will call in and give their testimonies to uplift the listeners, Lord, and that they will call in and that they will be a blessing not only to us but to those that hear. Father, we just thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And we seal this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. And to God be the glory for the things that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. And until next week, we say please join New Destiny Ministries every day at 1 o'clock Pacific Time, 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time at this same number. And be blessed by the ministry of New Destiny Ministry. And always, always, always join us every Saturday at 5 o'clock Pacific Time, 7 o'clock Central Time, and 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Every Saturday, they overcame. We're here. We're going to praise God. We're going to give him the glory. And until next week, we just want to praise him.
Thank you.